Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. The voice, the ears, and the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Team Radio Sai wishes you the warmest of Sankranti greetings. May the universe bless you with an abundance of harmony and joy during this auspicious season. Till a few moments ago, you were tuned live to the Vedam and Bhajans that were being sung in the Sai Kulwant Hall this morning. We are now back at the studios of Radio Sai, and my name is Karuna, and I'm honored to be your host for this segment of Thursday Live called Morning Glory. Thank you for staying with us on this sacred Thursday, January the 12th, 2017. The time right now is exactly 45 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and the current temperature in the ashram is a pleasant 22 degrees Celsius, with overnight lows in the mid-teens and daytime highs at a comfortable 27-28 degrees Celsius range. Overall, Prashanthi Nilayam continues to enjoy delightful weather conditions, bright sunshine, clear skies, crisp breeze and zero pollution. Our nights are still a bit nippy by our standards and some of us just love it that way. Overall, this slice of heaven continues to be the place where the mind is calm, the senses relaxed, and the heart. Well, the heart is always at home here and always ever flowing with joy. Here's what else is keeping us so happy and joyful in the abode of Supreme Peace. Yesterday, Bhagwan Baba's students and their dedicated teachers upheld very proudly yet another divine tradition as they poured their deepest love and gratitude to their divine founder chancellor. Thousands of Sai students ranging in ages from 5 to 25, that is grade 1 kids to PhD level scholars and beyond, showcased their talents and discipline, surpassing all possible levels of excellence to reach a state that was truly par excellence. Yesterday, that is January the 11th, 2017, saw the start of this gala annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai educational institutions. Thousands of Sai devotees from all over the world, parents and siblings and grandparents of the Sai students, dignitaries, local officials and residents of villages within up to 50 to 60 kilometer radius of Puttaparthi came in large numbers to witness the creativity, the caliber and control of Sai students. At this point in time, I'd like to quote from the press release that came from the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust yesterday, which gave a very nice account of the morning program, and it says, and I quote, "The ceremonial procession of the annual Sports and Cultural Meet 2017 commenced at 8 a.m. sharp on the morning of 11 January 2017 with Bhagwan Baba's car entering the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium with a beautiful photograph of him. It was escorted by motorcycles and welcomed by the Women's Brass Band of the Anandpur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. This was followed by an escort by the Slow March Squad, a special contingent that was led by the Men's Brass Band of the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of the Sai University. Following the ceremonial welcome to Bhagwan, the Vice Chancellor of the University, along with senior members of the Sai educational institutions, offered salutations to Bhagwan. The march past that followed included each of the 2,000 Sai students marching in unison towards the dais at Shanti Vedika, where Bhagwan sits. They offered their salutations to their revered founder chancellor there. The morning presentation included presentations from Anandpur campus, the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, College of Nursing and Allied Health Sciences, as well as the Brindavan campus of the Sai University. The women students of Anandpur campus performed something called rhythmic yoga, a form of vinyasa or artistic yoga which offers a perfect blend of 36 yogasanas in tune with mellifluous music of Indian mantras. Following this came a presentation, the pattern striders, which created patterns and symmetry as the students marched together in unison with synchronicity, synergy and discipline. The last presentation was Sai Rangers, a motorcycle item characterized by stunts involving creative and daredevil maneuvering of motorcycles to display various formations. And finally, the presentation ended with the human formation of the words, "Ever yours." The students of the nursing college that is attached to our super speciality hospital in Whitefield presented some traditional arts and dances. And the morning session ended with an energetic display by the students from Brindavan. Their first item was called Yobics, which was a combination of yoga and aerobics. And this was followed by Dexters, who showcased their dexterity by performing creative designs using planks. And finally came the Showstopper. The Showstopper was an item called the Skyrunners. As the name suggests, it saw daredevil acts of jumping into the sky using jumping stilts, inline skates and pogo sticks. Baba's students demonstrated fearlessness, vigor and passion, and the message that even the sky is not the limit when you're holding Sai's hand. Unquote. Dear listeners, I just want to draw your attention that this event is attended by all four campuses of the Sai University, and the official name of the Satya Sai University is Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So the four campuses are Anandpur, Brindavan, Prashanthi Nilayam and Mudanhalli. And it's also attended by the Satya Sai Meerpuri College of Music, the Sri Satya Sai Primary and Higher Secondary Schools, Srimati Ishwaramba High School and the Nursing and Allied Health Sciences College attached to the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences at Whitefield. That's why the event is so big. And in case you would like to learn more about our institutions, I urge you to learn more about the Satya Sai University. You can visit their website. It is SSSIHL. So it stands for Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. SSSIHL.edu.in. And if you want to learn about India's top school, top in CBSE academics as well as character education, please visit the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School at its website, which is sssss.edu.in. I repeat, it's SSSHSS.edu.in. Now, coming back to yesterday's event, dear listeners, the Hillview Stadium was packed to capacity, and so was the ashram. And if several hundred thousand spectators enjoyed the program in person, I want you to guess how many we reached to Radio Sai's live web streaming. So what's your guess? 10,000 people watched with us? Could it have been 20 or 50,000, or am I really getting carried away? So come on, take a guess in your mind. Well, yesterday's morning program, dear sisters and brothers, reached 2 million people as it was happening in Prashanthi Nilayam. The exact number is 1,910,789 persons. The reach to this number of almost 2 million was accompanied by over 200,000 views, just as it was happening live here in Prashanti. Later through the course of the day, the numbers just spiraled out of control because hundreds of thousands of viewers were trying to get caught up with what they had missed. That's called deferred live. Now, if you combine the figures of the live morning, the live afternoon, and all the deferred lives, because till this moment when I'm speaking, people are just going back to Radio Sai to catch up and see how the students performed, the numbers are running into millions, and I didn't pull them out of my hat. These are the statistics that we have got from Facebook and Google Analytics. At Radio Sai, we are ever so grateful to Bhagwan Baba for creating this medium to keep his loving children the world over yoked to Prashanti Nilayam through the medium that he has created for all of us out of his infinite love and concern that everybody's heart he knows is here. So Radio Sai performs this wonderful duty of keeping everyone feeling connected. Now from today, the Mandir is going to witness grand Broadway-style dramatic presentations and celebrations all based on the themes that are steeped in human values. And as you know, education in human values forms the backbone of Satya Sai education. In a bit, I'll play a song for you just to give you a hint about what is going to come tonight. But I want you to know that tonight, the Grade 12 students from the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School are going to present an amazing drama that will blow you off, and you must watch it through our web streaming. I also want you to remember that these are the same boys who are going to be taking the All India level CBSE Grade 12 exam in just a few weeks from now. And I assure you, sitting where I am, that with Swami's grace and blessings, each student is going to ace and excel and outperform thousands of their peers elsewhere in India who are also currently buried under the pile of books and running from one tutorial class to another. That is because in the Sai system of education, it's all about a balanced and rounded approach to blossoming of human excellence. So dear listeners, you're really going to be richer if you take the time to join us this evening and every evening over the next few days and enjoy the live web streaming from the Mandir. As we celebrate, as we continue to celebrate the annual sports and cultural meet, there's never a dull moment in Prashanti. And even last week, we had the All India Bal Vikas alumni here and also the convocation of the Bal Vikas Group 3 students. Luckily, I had a chance to get caught up with some of them, and I will bring you that interview in a bit. But first, do you remember last week I told you that I had this amazing interview with Dr. S. Panchinathan of the USA? And that's because I was curious to know if there is extraterrestrial life, and I thought he was a good person to ask. But in any case, I don't know whether you will be satisfied with his answer or not, because he was being very cautious with his words. But I'm super delighted to bring you part one of this engaging conversation for your inspiration and listening pleasure. And today I'm going to play part one, and next week I will bring you its conclusion. And I tell you, this is a must listen to interview. So over now to my recently recorded Tryst with Divinity part one with Dr. Sethuraman Panchinathan of the Arizona State University in the United States. Have a listen, please. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity. I'm deeply honored to be sitting across from Dr. Sethuraman Panchinathan, PhD. He is the Executive Vice President and the Chief Research and Innovation Officer at the Arizona State University. And he does many more important things. Just by way of introduction, if I can bring you up to speed, Dr. Panchinathan, who is fondly known as Dr. Panch, has completed his electronics and communication engineering from the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore. He went on to get his M.Tech in electrical engineering from IIT Madras and a PhD in computer engineering from the University of Ottawa in Canada. Currently, apart from playing this very leading role at the Arizona State University, he also happens to be one of the hand-picked 25 persons who are appointed by the President to the National Science Board in the United States of America. And by President, I mean the President of the United States. In his case, it was President Obama who picked him amongst the distinguished 25 people in the entire country. And the role of the National Science Board is to advise the President of the United States of America and the American Congress on science policy and to oversee the National Science Foundation. In this area, Dr. Panch is the chair of the Committee for Strategy and Budget, which sets the science priorities for the nation with a whopping annual budget of $7.4 billion. And at the Arizona State University also, Dr. Panch has played a critical role in bringing up the ranking of the university. Today, it is recognized as the largest university with 100,000 students and 3,000 faculty members. And it has been designated as the most innovative university second year in a row, followed by Stanford and the MIT. And as though his hands are not full enough, from the bottom of his heart, he serves his Sadhguru Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba as the regional president of the Satya Sai Organization for Region 9 in the United States. And Region 9 includes the states of Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah. On that note, I welcome Dr. Panch to Radio Sai. Sairam, sir, and a very warm welcome.
Jai Sairam, and thank you for having me here. It is truly a pleasure to be here, because whenever I come to Puttaparthi, it is like coming home.
Truly.
And so it is truly a pleasure to have the opportunity to speak with you today.
And it's an honor for us to have such a distinguished guest amongst us. And I'm sure our listeners will benefit so much from hearing from you, because the brief conversation I had over the last 10, 15 minutes, I have learned so much. So, Dr. Panch, whatever you do with such a passion. And you're clearly such a high achiever. What role does Satya Sai Baba have in your success?
Everything. He is the inner motivator. He is the doer. He is everything to me, because he has been the inspiration for all the things that I do day in and day out. So all through my life, he has been the seen and the unseen hand that has moved everything. One time Swami told me, I am in you, I am with you, I am around you. So I take it as Swami is always with me, and he is the one that is guiding me. So any action that I do, any talk that I give, any meeting that I go to, I will close my eyes and I will picture that Swami is inside my frame. And I will say, Swami, please not let this body become an impediment for you to do your action through this body today or this instrument today. So I hope that I will serve as his worthy instrument all my life. And that's my humble prayer to Bhagawan all the time.
I believe you had asked him specifically how you wanted your body to be used. Tell
yes.
us about that.
So one time I asked, I was in an interview room with Swami, and I pointed to my heart here, and I pulled my shirt up and I said, Swami, how do you want this body to serve you? And Swami immediately looked at me intently and said, work is worship, duty is God, do your duty. And since then, you know, since that instruction, it's become very clear that he is working through me, because I can tell you that all the things that you read, sometimes I look at that and I say to myself, it cannot be me that does any of that. Because it cannot happen if it was just me. It has to be Swami that is working through us. And that is why we are able to do things that we can't even recognize that we can do in our physical frame, as we often think about what our limitations are, what our constraints are, and so on. But he unleashes us from all of that and actually truly works through us. And the only prayer that we should have every morning, in my humble opinion, is to allow him to work through us and not become an impediment for him to work through us. And so that's, I think, should be the prayer that we have to Swami. And I have to say that that is what keeps me moving forward and doing the things that you alluded to in my professional life as well as in my personal life. And there's no difference, basically, because when Swami says work is worship, work means all kinds of work. It doesn't matter whether it's cleaning the bathroom, to whether it is actually, you know, serving in the National Science Board. For me, all of that is work. And if Swami is doing every one of it, then why draw a distinction between this and that?
You speak of such deep humility. My question to you is, you have a stellar resume. You are a man of a great professional and academic achievement. Why do you say that you have to make sure you're not an impediment to the flow of God's will through you?
Oftentimes, you know, as Swami says, our ego can come along the way and make us do things that are not following the human values. Swami wants us to express the human values every moment of our life. So I find that the moment we let us take over, then I feel, at least this is just my humble opinion again, I feel that we are not allowing those human values to express itself through us in its fullest form. And that's what I mean by saying that, you know, we have to make sure that we should let Swami work through us and be a true instrument and let his inspiration guide us.
Dr. Panch, you play such a critical role in as part of the National Science Board, where you advise President Obama, and you still have 4 more years of that term, so you're likely to even advise President Trump going forward. Select 25 people. You're part of that cream of people who decide how, what shape or direction science will take in the United States, and, you know, the whopping budget of $7.4 billion. What is it like to be you and sit there across from President Obama?
So I think it is, again, we are all doing what we are supposed to do, our roles. You know, when we talk about, you know, when Swami's given me a role, it is just a role. And, you know, one time I remember I was sitting in the Purnachandra Auditorium, and Swami was talking to the faculty and students. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that, you know, we are all actors in a play. And he said, you are all actors in a play. I am the director of the play. I am also an actor, but I am a good actor, he said. You know, so when you take that seriously, then what it is that we are all playing our roles. Each one of the member of the National Science Board is really working hard to ensure that the country is globally competitive. The country is in the leading edge of scientific exploration. So when you look at it that way, every input then becomes an important part of the whole. So we are not just, you know, us doing it versus somebody else, but we are us doing it with everyone else. And so it doesn't matter whether it is the president or a senator or a congressman or a National Science Board member. It doesn't matter who it is. We are all trying to do our roles to the best of our ability to achieve one purpose, is to make the nation and the globe a much better place than it would be otherwise.
But can't science be used against the well-being, welfare of humanity, especially through military use that the United States of America is well known for?
Yeah, you could say that, you know, science can also have, you know, the impacts, the so-called negative impacts. Mm-hmm. But most scientific discoveries that are used for human well-being have come about because of, for example, the many of the science advancements today came about because of the war times. The World War I, World War II resulted in many different scientific discoveries and inventions that has then benefited humanity in so many other ways. So these becomes then a sort of not an excuse, but a mechanism by which new science explorations and new scientific discoveries and inventions happen. So sometimes we only focus on the negative side of it, but most of the time, a lot more positives happen instead of the negatives. And therefore, we should be grateful for the fact that all of this helps us to advance the scientific thought, the scientific experience, and scientific progress. And I think that is a very, very important thing to remember and not get trapped in that science can also be used for that. Anything, for example, can be used for both positive and negative. And you always try to see how you can channel it for positive outcomes.
And being a person who believes in the 5 human values and you're committed to them, how do you bring that mindset into the discussions of the Science Foundation that you lead?
When you think about human progress, mm-hmm. you know, whatever scientific explorations that we are engaged in is because it's about human progress. It's about mankind and human progress. And therefore, it is either extraterrestrial exploration or whether it's explorations inside the human body. It doesn't matter whether it is, you know, the micro level of exploration that happens inside the body at the nanoscale, or even smaller scales, to all the way up to the mega scales when you're exploring the outer universe. All of that is for betterment of humankind. And therefore, for me, it is just that thought that what I will do in a small way, in mm-hmm. a very humble way, is to contribute to the well-being of the humankind, understanding of the humankind, and contributing to the well-being of the humankind. And I think I feel very grateful that Swami has given me this opportunity to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's up to you if you want to answer it or not. But Dr. Panch, in your considered opinion, is there extraterrestrial life?
I think there is enough to talk about in the life in inside our planet. There is so much to be done here. So therefore, I don't focus much on whether there is extraterrestrial life or not.
Classified information. Is that so? Nice diplomatic answer, but I respect your need to be careful on that account. Now, I understand that you really played a huge role in bringing up the level of learning and the ranking of the Arizona State University through infusing human values into the curriculum, into the climate of the university campus. Can you tell us about that, please? Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you talk about, when Swami says you have given a role and he wants us to be absolutely excellent in our role. So excellence, what is excellence?
Yes.
You know, they actually define excellence. To me, excellence is, are you expressing the human values to the fullest extent? If you did, then you are excellent. You have to be excellent because you're help, you know, essentially allowing Swami to work through you, the instrument, in expressing that excellence, right? Through the human values, the practicing the human values. So for me, therefore, these are not two different things. You know, oftentimes there is this feeling that somehow if you're a spiritual person, then you cannot be living in the world and accomplishing things. I don't think these are two different things at all. They're all one and the same. There are no two different personalities. There's only one personality, that is you. And if you let Swami work through you, then you will achieve excellence because Swami will, you know, if you look at Swami's life, that is the most excellent example. He's the best exemplar than we ask for. Every day of his life, he worked so hard and strived for excellence in everything that he did in the human form. And, you know, he was not just, you know, I am God and therefore I'm just going to sit and, you know,
Let things happen because I willed it, right?
Instead, he did his part as just having taken the human form. And therefore, it behooves us to be exactly the same, not any different, that we have been given a human form. And if we truly believe that Swami is working through us, then just do the things and express the human value so that you can be excellent in everything that you do. And I tell you, when you take this approach, I'm not saying this because I do this all the time. I have my share of my own, you know, negative energies sometimes. But I can tell you, whenever the positivity is expressed, the outcomes are way beyond what you would think it will be.
Help me understand how.
Yeah, let me give you an example.
Please.
So, a few years ago, you know, I was sitting in Prashantinilayam here and in front of Bhagwan. And there was a conversation about, you know, a question was asked, Swami, there is a workshop on information to transformation, right? So, Swami immediately responded by saying, what information, what transformation? Information is only in formation.
In the process of formation.
Exactly.
Okay.
He broke the word information as in formation.
Right.
There is only transformation of information, but there is no real transformation.
Wow.
So this is what he said. In an almost instantaneous response, I was sort of taken aback by that, being a professor of computer science and engineering and working in the area of information. It seemed very profound to me because we always try to understand what information is. We still are trying to understand what information is. So truly, then information is information, right? Then there's only transformation of information, then, which means that if you encapsulate all the things that happens in computer science and information technology or whatever, you can encapsulate it in this one form, that information is all about transforming from one form to another form.
Like you said, bits to bytes to...
Bits to bytes, bytes to video, this conversation that we're having, or images, or whatever that might be that we do. You store data in a database, or you compress data, and then you decompress the data. All of this is transforming from one form to the other, basically. And then last is, but there is no real transformation, is what he said. So I said to myself, boy, what does Swami really mean by real transformation? How can information lead to real transformation? And this was the question that I had. And as I was flying back to the United States that trip, I was constantly saying, Swami, can you please expound to me? What do you mean by saying information should result in real transformation? Believe it or not, as soon as I landed in the United States that time, there came an opportunity for a big project from the National Science Foundation called the Information Technology Research Program. And this was focused on how can information technology be applied for applications, including human advancement. So I said, wow, this is very coincidental, and there are no coincidences, as you know. And then I assembled a group of people. I'm just going to make it brief because you said there will be many parts to this. I have to walk you through the entire story of this project in one of the future conversations. So, but in this, I just talk about the magnificence because you asked me, how does it express in a form that is bigger than what you can ever imagine? And so I'm going to illustrate that by just one example. So then it happened that, you know, I go there, I assembled a group of people. At the university. And I started having a discussion about what can we do by bringing all our collective interest in information technology and computer science that can affect and impact humanity. So that was the discussion. As we were having this discussion, we said, oh, maybe we should try to apply information technology for improving health or education, better educational opportunities and so on. Suddenly, one of my colleagues sitting in the room said, how about working for individuals who are blind and visually impaired? The moment he said that, it was like Swami had said, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, this is so perfect. It was just, I could not have asked for any better. The reason is, I have been working in the area of image processing and computer vision as my research areas for many, many years. And I've only processed images for people who can see images, mm-hmm. perceive images. Mm-hmm. I've never thought of image processing for people who cannot see images.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed almost antithetical, but it seemed almost right. It was a very interesting set of responses in my head. I didn't know what to do. I honestly didn't know what to do. So here's what I did. I went to the web, even in those days, this is about 15 years ago, I went to the web and I typed the following words, Arizona and blind. And I said, let me see what comes up as guidance.
Hmm.
Right? And the first website that came on top of that search was Arizona Schools for the Deaf and Blind. And so I immediately clicked that website. I had two contact numbers. One was Earlene Dykes and another was Cindy Robinson, two people. So I called the first person, message machine, I left a message, trying to explain to them what I was trying to do and seek their guidance, to understand what the problem is all about before I embark on solving a problem. The second was Cindy Robinson. I called her up and then I left a message for her too. The next day, interestingly, Cindy Robinson calls me back. Now, I'm having this conversation with Cindy, trying to communicate to her that I'm trying to work on this project of applying computer science to help individuals who are blind and visually impaired. So I'm articulating this to her, and I could see the sense of skepticism in her voice on the other end. Mm-hmm. But she's not sure, is this guy real?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he trying to just get some funding by using the individuals who are blind and visually impaired as an example or as a case study? What is he really trying to do? So she was not very clear. So I could see the skepticism in her voice. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to convince her about this, and without talking much about my personal life, because I wanted to not, talk about, I do this in my personal life. I just didn't want to say anything. But finally I said, I have to tell her something that communicates to her that this is coming from really an intention that is pure. So I said, Cindy, in my personal life, I go to the homeless shelter on the weekends, and we do breakfast service for people who are in the homeless shelter. And so we do the service project. This is all I said. Okay? This is all I said. Nothing more. She turned around and she asked me, are you a Sai Baba devotee?
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
And that moment I knew that Swami wanted me to do this project. Mm-hmm. I said, Cindy, how did you ask this question? How can you ask this? Because there are 6 billion, 7 billion people on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. I randomly went to a website and I pick up this person and I call two people and one person returns my call. And all I have said so far is that I do a service project in downtown homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. And she says, are you a Sai Baba devotee? And I said, how did you ask me this question? She said, well, Punch, you said service and Sai Baba came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so for all of us, Swami is father, mother, friend, guide, philosopher, God. We have so many terms for Swami and how we relate to him. But the public, the people there relate to Swami as synonymous with service. I was taken aback, and then I learned that she had seen Swami in her very young years when she was in Michigan, when she had come to Whitefield and seen Swami. Now you tell me, is this a coincidence?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I didn't have to explain anything to Cindy because she was so welcoming and wanting to talk to me about what I could do to help the children and the young adults and adults who are blind and visually impaired and how we might design devices and technologies to be assisting them, right? And that project then took a life of its own, So when I came the following trip to Swami, I had written a proposal, and Swami called me in for an interview with a group of young adults, and I presented this to Swami, and I said, Swami, I want you to bless this project, Swami. So he opened the project book. It was several pages thick. So he just opened the project book, and I was sitting beside him, and I was trying to tell him to focus on a particular thing, So he was just flipping through the pages. And then at one point, he knew that I was trying to point to him the system diagram that I had built.
Mm.
So he came to that and he said, this is what you want to talk about? I said, yes, Swami. He explained to me what I was doing.
Wow.
And he said, this is what you're trying to do, right? I said, yes, Swami. And then he said, Swami, I need your blessings. I need your help, Swami.
Tell us a little bit more about the explanation he gave.
So he basically said, you're trying to take this to the camera, because I had the pictures of people taking to the camera. And then he said, it is coming through the ears, he said.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to convert it to sound, and then I was trying to listen through the audio.
Uh-huh.
So he was telling me, this is what you're trying to do, right? Listening to the audio.
So the whole process, the process. Flow diagram.
So I said, yes, Swami. I said, Swami, I need your blessings, Swami. I need your help, Swami. Then he closed the proposal and he put his hand on top of the proposal and he said, I will help, I will help, I will help, three times.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, since that day, I have not you know, being devoid of great ideas that comes to the project. I have not been devoid of people who bring the great ideas who come to the project. I have not been devoid of any resources, any money or anything for the project to continue. Everything comes to the project. I don't go seeking for anything. They come to the project.
Mm-hmm.
So when Swami says, I will help, I will help, I will help, it's at a completely different level of what happens. So here is an example. You asked me, how can, you know, when you say that things are way beyond what you'd have thought, here is a simple thing of information to transformation. I asked a very simple, humble prayer to Swami. Swami, can you please explain to me what you mean by transformation? Then this project unfolds, and there are many, many things, and I will talk to you in a different time in terms of what the project really accomplished. But what the ultimate result was not that I did something for the individuals who are blind and visually impaired. If I did not do it, somebody else would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be Panch who did that. But what that gave me as an opportunity is the following. When I look at the people who are blind and visually impaired, when I see them so excited, so committed, so hardworking, and realizing the opportunities that they have for them, and then I sit and look at myself in the morning complaining about the fact that my alarm didn't go on at the time that I set it, or that my microwave did not heat the food fast enough, breakfast fast enough, or somebody cut me on the highway as I was driving, and I complain about everything that I should not be complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
And here are these people who can complain all day long. They have the right to complain. But yet they don't complain. But instead they make their life into something beyond what you can ever imagine. Right? So what I learned from this is a small thing. If you really pray to Swami sincerely and say, Swami, I want to be the instrument that, you know, that I want you to help me to do something for humanity. He unfolds that prayer into something which is unimaginable. I would have never thought that the kinds of things that I have done through this project, I would have never imagined doing it. This is not about just applying some computer science for solving problems for humanity. In fact, the problems that I have tackled right now have enriched computer science to a different level that I would have never been able to do.
Can you help us understand?
Yeah. So let me give you an example.
Please.
So in vision,
yeah,
you always process information and you present the information back for with people with vision, right?
Mm.
Visual information.
Mm.
But if you don't have sight, right? How do you present the information to them? You can present it in audio, as I was saying to you, right? And that's what I would have normally thought.
Mm.
But it turned out that when I was talking to people in focus groups and asking them how to present the information, they told me, Panch, but if you start putting stuff in our ears, you're actually blindfolding a sighted person. That's what you're doing.
You're blindfolding a sighted
person.
Right? Okay.
Imagine a sighted person, you blindfold them. You're not doing them any good.
Okay.
Right? Likewise, by putting stuff in our ears, because that is our way in which we understand our environment.
Right.
Through the sounds that come, the Doppler effect, that's how I understand my environment.
Mm.
So if you start putting stuff inside my ears, thinking that you're helping me by giving information, right? The process information, text or audio cues or whatever that is, you are not helping me because you're actually obstructing what I would normally get by imposing something on top of it. So then I said, okay, how do you now communicate things to them aside of through sound? So then it opened up a new dimension of touch. Touch-based information, right? So now, haptics, as it is called.
Haptics.
Haptikos is a Greek term which means touch.
Touch.
Right? Tactile sensation. Right? So my whole work now, there's a whole body of work that I have done in the last 15 years on touch interfaces. How do you communicate information through touch?
But isn't Braille also touch-based?
Braille is also touch.
Yeah.
But Braille is where you actively now go and understand what is being communicated to you.
Right.
But imagine that I have a glove.
Yeah.
Okay, or imagine I have a patch on my back where I'm able to communicate the information, you know, without people even knowing that it's being communicated in a sort of, you know, passive way, not an active exploratory way like Braille. I'm getting this information, so I have different devices that you can put on your body through which you can communicate tactile cues. Let me give you an example.
Please.
In the very first iteration, we designed a belt.
Okay.
A belt, like you wear a belt. In the belt, there are these small motors like you have in your cell phones, right?
Right.
The vibratory motors. You have vibratory motors around your belt.
Okay.
Okay? So let us say that I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
My camera recognizes that Karuna Munshi is in front of me. Right? And then it communicates to me and says that, you know, that. So it recognizes and says, Karuna Munshi is in front of you. Okay? Then you are in front of me. And then it says you're looking at me. Because I don't want to have a conversation unless you're looking at me.
Yeah.
Because it can be very embarrassing.
Yes, a lot of people who are visually impaired say that that's a challenge, right?
Correct. Right? Because they start talking thinking that they are looking at them, but they're looking at somebody else.
Yes,
right? Then what happens even worse is you start moving to the right. And I do not know that you have moved to the
but
right.
But you're still looking in my previous direction
correct.
And talking.
But in my belt, my vibrator now
moves
and then it starts to vibrate here, okay, saying that Karuna is now here.
Yeah.
So I can now move
30 degrees to the right.
Yeah, 30 degrees to the right. I can turn where my intuitively where my vibrotactile information is giving me the data, and I can turn and look at you there, and I can talk to you.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a natural way of communicating situational awareness.
Yes.
Right?
Mm.
And if Karuna, you're walking towards me, the vibrator can vibrate faster.
So you know I'm approaching.
You're approaching me.
Yeah.
Or you're receding away from me. Right? So all of these cues can be given through these vibrotactile motors in a haptical way.
Mm.
Now, you imagine, you're not interfering with their audio abilities, but you're augmenting their perceptions by giving information through another channel, which is not utilized as much.
Mm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
haptics is starting to become mainstream. So although we started working for individuals who are blind in understanding how do we communicate information, but blindness is not a disability. Blindness is a concept. I am blind right now. I have no idea what is going on 180 degrees
behind your head, yeah.
So if I can have augmented perception, knowing what is happening, for example, a soldier in the battlefield, let us say there is a danger coming from the back,
behind,
if I'm able to say from the belt in the back,
my God,
watch out, there is something coming in your back, that soldier is now augmented with new perception that they didn't have before, and they can be safe, right?
Wow.
Or if you're driving a car, and you have on your seat the vibrotactile information that is telling you, beware, your blind spot, there's a car that is coming, then you're paying attention to that because your visual field now is locked in the front.
It's increased, but this helps you to have an increased visual field.
Correct. So blindness, therefore, is not a disability. It's a concept.
Mm.
We all are blind.
We're all impaired in some way or the other.
Correct. And we get more and more impaired as you age. That is what I'm starting to recognize right now. You know, I leave my glasses at home in the morning, and then I'm searching for it as I'm leaving home. And then if only there was a device that was telling me, by the way, you left it in the bathroom when you're washing your face, I could be on meetings on time many, many more times than I am right now. Because I start searching and I become late, I get late to going to meetings, isn't it? So what happens is, that's what happens when you work with individuals who are blind and visually impaired or with other disabilities, it then affects, it impacts the entire population in addition to individuals who are blind and visually impaired.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have spent several years with a very dear friend who's visually impaired. She's my senior from Anantapur College. Her name is Rama Devi. Mm-hmm. And she was my roommate as well. So I'm somewhat familiar with the challenges that she faced and how she overcame them. How can one communicate color to a person who's visually impaired?
Yes, that's beautiful. I'm glad you asked this because Swami made you ask this. Because I had an individual who's blind who worked in my lab. She's an undergraduate student in psychology. She was an undergraduate student in psychology. Laura Bratton is her name. And so Laura came to me one day and said, Panch, I want to engage in your lab as an undergraduate student researcher. I said, absolutely. That's the other beautiful thing. What Swami did was just mind-boggling. As I said, it's just a story in itself. The people coming to the project, right? So Laura came to the project. And I said, Laura, what do you want? What would you like to work on, Laura? She said, Panch, you know, I became blind only recently when I was, you know, a teenager. So I had an understanding of what colors were.
Mm.
And I missed the color information.
Mm.
Right? So I would like to really work on a project that can help communicate color information to me. So what we did was we worked on a project where the camera will pick up the color and we will then transfer it into a form, the red, green, blue form, right, basics, and that we will communicate that information tactilely to them.
Mm-hmm.
So the assimilation of the combination of red, green and blue gave them a sense of what the color is. That this is yellow, this is magenta, this is green. All of that information comes because of the intensity of the vibration on the three different vibrotactile motors. And so by synthesizing all of them, you say, Punch, this looks awfully complex. How can you communicate color by asking people to integrate stuff? It's amazing that when you have individuals who are blind and visually impaired, their perception is really augmented perception. Since you have lived with a person who's visually impaired, you know that they have a higher level of perception for the environment.
Very, very sensitive.
They can hear your footsteps and know who the person is.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So like that, the integration of this information that is presented to them and being able to convert it into a color signal and being able to understand basic color spectrum. We did experiments with Laura on this. And that's how we were able to communicate color information, basic color information. Laura designed the project.
But Laura has a point of reference because she has seen color before.
Correct.
What about somebody who's born visually impaired and does not know that if they go into a park, they're surrounded by flowers and greenery of varying shades?
Correct. That's a very good question. So what we did was, for a person who has no idea that banana is yellow and the sun as it is setting is yellow, let us say, right? So what you do is, for them, color becomes a concept.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they will be able to bin the idea of the sun being yellow as it sets and the banana being yellow as a concept that they cluster together, right? So it may not be color as a perception, like mm-hmm. like in the case of Laura, she'll be able to go and recall the yellow that she had seen and be able to attach it to that. Mm-hmm. But here, they may not attach it to the color, but they will be able to attach it to a space that brings all of this together. That's what we do, isn't it?
When and we think that's about what Immanuel Kant described knowledge as bins.
Yes,
Kant,
as bins.
Kantian philosophy.
Correct, exactly. It's knowledge after all. See,
categories.
As human beings, we're constantly categorizing.
Yes.
Right? That's what we do. We are pattern recognition machines, constantly classifying and categorizing information, right? So that's what you do, is you take this information and you categorize them. And this is just scratching the surface in the project.
I'm
no pun
sure
intended with that. Okay? So it's just amazing. So what Swami did,
yes,
by a small thing that he shared in this, I don't want to use the word flippant, but that's how it seemed like, right? Mm. Because he casually, immediately said, in no thought, nothing, just like that he said. And that is so
information
powerful. Mm. So powerful. That's why I tell people when I give talks in Sai centers, I tell them, every word of Swami is so significant. Every action of Swami is so significant.
Oh.
You know, it is just unbelievably significant. Because if you take this small collection and then you see as an example of how it unfolded,
I guess your perception,
examples,
your sensitivity to value that word so deeply is what,
yes,
led to sometimes, I mean, many of us have heard Swami's words repeatedly,
yes,
and we almost become immune to the
correct
depth of what he's
correct
saying, the profundity and the enormity.
Correct.
Because we are very casual about it,
correct,
my God.
In one of the talks in the future, I will share
yes
with you, help ever hurt never, right? We have heard this Swami say so many times. And I mean, in my talks that I give, I talk about, you know, what that really means, what the emphasis is. So we all take pride in the fact we say, help ever hurt never. Thought for the day, when somebody has forgotten to bring the thought for the day, somebody will get up and say, help ever hurt never.
Really?
That is Swami's thought for the day, right?
We parrot it.
Yeah, parrot it, right? So, but actually, Swami is not talking about help or not hurting. And so we take pride. Oh, that day I walked down, I saw the ant. Oh, you know, I didn't step on the ant. I just jumped over it because Swami would not want me to step on the ant. Mm-hmm. So I did not hurt. So I take pride. I lift my collar up and I say, wow, I followed Swami's teaching.
Right.
Or help, you know, somebody was just there and the luggage was, you know, in the conveyor belt. I was in the airport and this old lady was not able to lift it. So I helped them lift the luggage. I helped today. So I did follow Swami's message. Nothing wrong in having the pride that you followed Swami's message.
Mm-hmm.
But Swami was not talking about that. Swami's emphasis was on ever and never.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start to actually pay attention to ever and never, and I have this talk about this ever and never, unbelievable. Unbelievable what all we have to do in order to actually follow ever and never.
Mm-hmm.
Not just help and not hurt, but ever and never.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is very interesting. And I know that you are a very busy person, but I just can't let you go without telling us, how did you make such a huge transformation at the Arizona State University and its ranking by bringing in this passion that you carry from Prashanthi Nilayam? Very few people will know that you, perhaps they do know your background, but few will realize that the passion that you bring to everything you do has its source in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Yes.
And your spiritual master.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. In fact, I don't necessarily, you know, sometimes people feel, oh, that thing, you should not bring it to work. I don't. I mean, I don't publicize this by saying, oh, this is... But Swami says, your life, as we know, is my message.
Yes.
And he said, my life is my message, your life is my message. So people are watching you, how you conduct yourself, how you're doing, what you're doing, how do you express all of that? You know, are you egotistical? Are you humble? People watch you. So you don't have to publicize Swami by talking about him, but by being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So going to answering your question, in Arizona State University, all I do is I do my work. Every morning I get up, I tell Swami, please make me a worthy instrument of you today, Swami. I have a whole story on instrument. One day I asked Swami, not in a physical form, but in a study circle I was participating, I asked him, Swami, I really want to understand. That study circle was about being an instrument. So the discussion was happening, as you know, in Canada, and we sit all around and then everybody is giving their opinion.
Mm.
So I was just praying to Swami. I said, Swami, whatever you want to speak through me today, Swami, you please speak through me. And then the whole thing about instrument that Swami has talked about in my head, which I shared, was unbelievably profound. So I tell Swami, so he gave me an example of what an instrument was, right? About being a good instrument was. So I'll picture myself in the morning as being an instrument in Swami's hands. I am the guitar. And I'll say, Swami, the knobs, the six knobs, Swami, please keep my anger in tune today. Please keep my hatred in tune today. Please keep my greed in tune today. Keep my jealousy in tune today. Please keep my ego in tune today, Swami. So that you might serve, I might serve through your inspiration, today in the fullest form. So when I go to work, I tell people, I am excited to go to work. Not one day I feel, oh my God, I got to go to work today. I'm excited. I feel energized. And so I go to work, and for me, work is an expression of Swami's love, an expression of Swami's teachings and what he would want me to do, an expression of his excellence. So it works. It happens. There's no way of explaining it other than I cannot even say I do my very best. I try to do my best knowing that Swami will work through me. And it happens. All of the things that happens, it happens. There's nothing like, I did this, therefore that.
So let's say you're sitting in a big meeting where some major decisions have to be made.
Yes.
And you have a certain opinion and others have a different opinion, which is different from yours. In your mind, you think you're coming from a place of good intention.
Yes.
And this is better for the larger good, better mm-hmm. use of the money mm-hmm. or the resources that the university is allocating. And mm-hmm. someone else has a different point of view. How do you tackle it?
So, the first thing that you have to understand is everybody comes with good intentions. The moment you attribute...
Not necessarily. Somebody might have an ulterior motive.
It could be. But what I'm saying
is... For research funding or something.
For me...
Okay, you have to assume.
Yeah, I have to assume.
But aren't you being naive?
I'm not being naive. So what I do is, you don't therefore not talk about your point of view. But if you go with the understanding of belittling the other person... Or somehow their opinion, if you go with the fundamental understanding that somehow they are wrongly and misplaced in their presentation of their point of view, just because you disagree with the point of view does not mean that you have to be disagreeable. There's a big difference, right? You can agree to disagree. You don't have to disagree to disagree, right? And so that happens only when you treat the other person with respect and their point of view with respect. It doesn't matter what they are. That's what Swami would want us to do. I patiently listen to all points of view, and I do exercise my point of view with, you see, my passion and my energy that comes out. The same energy and passion is what I use to communicate facts and my point of view. But I therefore don't expect, therefore, that point of view should prevail at the end of the day. Because when you have a group of people giving their points of view, and that is the point of having a team is about people coming with different perspectives. And without attributing motives to perspectives, if you just take them as perspectives, it is like making sambar with multiple spices cooked together. And it will come about to be what it is supposed to be at the end of the day. But you should have never hesitated, never felt that you should not have voiced the opinion. None of that. You give the fullest, your fullest in terms of that. But without feeling, therefore, the outcome has to be exactly what you think the outcome should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do that, I find in most of the circumstances, it works out. It works out. Sometimes it may not work out at that point in time. But with time, it works out. Things take care of itself. That's why Swami has talked about, patience. Perseverance, patience. Purity, perseverance, patience. That is, if your motives are pure, if you are willing to persevere, and if you are willing to be patient, I find that most things do work out. The problem is, we have a calendar and we have an agenda and we have a point of view that we believe that we should prevail. That our point of view should persist. Our point of view is right. When you start taking that kind of an approach, not that I do this all the time, so let me be very clear.
Yeah, okay? But do you ever feel crushed?
I don't feel crushed. I feel disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Crushed is too strong a word.
I see.
You feel disappointed.
I guess you feel crushed when you're a teenager.
Yeah, maybe, exactly. When you're a teenager, you may be crushed. But that's what maturity does for you, and that's what spirituality does for you. You feel disappointed. That's okay. Nobody says that you should not feel disappointed or hurt or anything of that nature, right? That's okay. It's part of the process.
No, but you're supposed to be joyful and happy all the time.
You learn. You learn to be joyful beyond those emotions.
Right.
It's not that... See, otherwise it's fake emotions in my view.
Hmm.
If you're not resolving all of these inner, innate emotions that come out, you're not suppressing them, but you're allowing them to express them, but then you resolve them and you become happy beyond that. Then it is a more permanent way of finding happiness and joy. The moment you start suppressing them, You might find that you have suppressed it, but someday it will come up, its ugly head will come up 10 times more forcefully than otherwise. At least I find that when I suppress things, they don't work. Okay? But when I express them, when I resolve them within myself, where it has got to be resolved, it works out. But in all of these things, whenever I express anything, I do my very best not to hurt the other person. It's hard. I'm not saying these things as simple things. It's very hard. It takes time. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't work out. But nobody said that every time you do all of these things, and just because you followed all the teachings and you know, you should all work out the way it's supposed to work out. You know, that in itself, I think, is a form of ego in my view, to expect that that's what the outcome should be.
Dr. Pant, you have this uncanny clarity and this enhanced ability to articulate what you believe in and what you practice. And I think that passion and that strength comes from the fact that you actually do bring all that you're talking about into your everyday life, into your thoughts, into your words, into your deeds. So you're so strongly anchored into Swami. Yet your journey to Swami did not begin on a very devout note. As a teenager, you were quite a rebellious person, I understand. Yes. That was because of a personal tragedy.
Yes. So here is what happened. So my maternal grandfather, you know, he was a devotee of Swami. He introduced us to Swami as children growing up.
In Madras?
In Madras. But my grandfather lived in Bangalore. So we used to go for summer vacations to his home in Bangalore. And he used to take us one day on a field trip to Whitefield. In the morning, we'll take the passenger train, go to Whitefield, spend the day with Swami, and we'll pack our picnic lunch, and then in the evening, take the train back. So that was my introduction to Swami. But one thing he did every morning, because all of our cousins got together, in order that we don't get into too much trouble, the day would start with 1 hour of bhajans in the morning. He was very disciplined about that. So that's where I learned my bhajans, okay, at a very young age. Then when I was getting to the teenage years, one of my very close cousins who I used to, you know, hang out with in the summer vacations, my first cousin, he suddenly passed away in engineering. He was in the first year of engineering college and he passed away. And it was very devastating for me because I prayed to Swami, Swami, you should save him. And when that did not happen, I felt that I had nothing to do with Swami anymore. And I distanced myself from Swami. And then I did my undergraduate degree, first undergraduate degree in physics in the University of Madras before I came to the Indian Institute of Science. And then my grandfather was still in Bangalore, and so I used to go and do bhajans with him in my uncle's place. But I never got this attachment to Swami as I had as a child. So Swami wanted me to find Swami for myself.
Okay? I believe your grandfather also wanted you to sing in the Mandali.
Yes, so this was my mother. So I go back, after the Indian Institute of Science, I go to IIT Madras, as you read in my biography. And so I did my master's there. I was a day scholar. I was staying at home because my home is very close to IIT in Besant Nagar. So, my mother was pestering me every day saying that you should go and sing bhajans because the male Mandali bhajans group meets at in the evening at on Wednesday evenings. You should go and sing bhajans, and it was in a Shiva temple. And I was resisting it because, first of all, I didn't have the faith in Swami. And secondly, you know, I didn't want to publicly express my bhajan and all that in a public place. Being a teenager, you can imagine that was not what you're looking forward to doing instead of going to the beach. So, therefore, I was resisting this. And one day I asked myself the question, why am I resisting this so much? My mother is asking me all the time, you know, I need to resolve this one way or the other, right? So I had a group of friends who are devotees of Swami. And so when I am with them, I feel like I am you know, in tune with Swami.
Right.
And then I am with the other group of friends. And then when I see them, I feel like, you know, they are right too. And they will challenge me with, you know, asking me, why can't Swami solve this problem or that problem and so on. So I was tossing back and forth. So I said to myself, I have to put a final point on this. And therefore I said, I'm going to test Swami. I'm in science, and in science there the truth can be tested, isn't it? You take, you know, a pipette or a burette or whatever it is, you mix the acid and the alkali or whatever, the color turns red or blue, and then you know that's what it is. Right? It's very clear. Or the apple falls. No, you don't have to fight with anybody about gravity because the apple fell. So you know what gravity is, isn't it? So I said, I'm going to test Swami. So my grandfather had given a picture of Swami, a small postcard picture of Swami with his hands up like that. So I had the picture with me. So I put the picture up in my bedroom on top of the refrigerator, which was in my bedroom. And I didn't tell anybody anything. And I said to Swami, there is only one thing I have as a contract with you. I looked at his face and I said, You know, the only thing, I do not know what God is or who God is. I have no idea. I don't even know what God is, okay? So I said, but the only thing I know is, God is good and good is God. G-O-O-D and G-O-D is inside that. And G-O-D at O, it becomes good. So all I know is that if there is a God, then it's got to be good. So therefore, I am going to be good from tomorrow. I'm not going to utter white lies, black lies, blue lies, whatever that might be. Okay? And if there is some person who needs help crossing the road, and lo and behold, the thought that came to me is that if a blind person wants help crossing the road, I will help the blind person cross the road. 25 years later, you see what the connection was. Okay? So, but anyway, so that was the thing I had with him. So I looked at the picture and I said, you know, I'm going to be good from tomorrow. Let me see what you do. It was a challenge. It was not even a request to do, give me this or give me none of that. It was a pure thing of, in a challenge, you know. Let's see what you do. So the first day I got up and I looked at the picture and I said, the contract is on. The second day I got up, contract is on. Third day I got up, contract is on. Fourth day when I got up, vibhuti was flowing from the picture. I was shaken because this was the contract that I had with Swami in the picture.
On the fridge.
One-on-one, on the fridge, one-on-one. I had not told anybody anything. And here, there is somebody who knows what I am thinking, what I am doing. The CIA, the Constant Integrated Awareness, tracking me, right?
Other than the other CIA also. Yeah. Okay.
Tracking me, knows what's going on.
Right.
And then this manifested. So I said, I have to keep my end of the bargain now.
Right.
So I have to go and attend bhajans right now.
And even lead.
Right. So I went to bhajans. And immediately Swami came in my dream. And he said, it is not just enough to attend bhajans. Service to man is service to God. And I, the moment at that point in time, I'm still raw, remember, right? So the first thought that came to me was, I said, well, I give him an inch, he wants a yard now.
Very demanding God.
Yes. That was my initial reaction, right? So I was like, no. Then I said, okay, whatever. You know, if I see somebody needs help, I will serve. Believe it or not, within a week or 10 days, my mother comes to me and says, you know, my Samiti president, she's asking me that they need a person to teach English and math in the slum for the slum children. The teacher who used to teach them is gone. And therefore, will you teach the slum children? Because you are, after all, going to IIT. You should know something about English and math. So, I agreed to do that. Because it was a Sunday morning. I said, well, you know, I'll go. And then this dream that Swami came and told me, service to man is service to God. I said, ah, that's interesting. There's a connection now. So, I started going to the slum. When I went to the slum, the feeling that I had in me was that I, the guy who's strong in math and English, I'm going to teach his illiterate kids about math and English. That is the attitude in my head. Swami did not send me there to do any service for any children because he could have chosen anybody else. There'd be thousands of other people who would only be too glad to do that. He chose me because he wanted to send me to a workshop to get rid of my problems that I had in my head. So I went there and I found that these children were as bright or not brighter than the children that I had seen. So my preconceived notions, he just tore them down one by one by one, like the onion, you know, being peeled like one by one, you know, he's just taking everything out of my
So the my IITN head. Was getting humbled?
Humbled, absolutely humbled, no question about that. And then I saw this amazing set of kids. Anyway, I'm going to jump now. I'll tell you the story another time, hopefully. But let me go to my question. My fundamental question to Swami was, what is God? Who is God? Are you God? These were three questions I had.
What is God? Who is God?
What
and are
is God,
you?
Who is God? Are you God? Three questions. Right? And this is my first thing of manifestation was just to show, I know what you're doing. I am watching what you're doing. Right? I know everything. Right? So the connection happened.
Yeah. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. My name is Karuna and I'm coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India on the 12th of January 2017. The current time in the abode of Supreme Peace is exactly 47 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. You just heard part 1 of my Triswit Divinity interview with Dr. Sethuraman Panchanathan of the Arizona State University in the United States of America. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm going to bring you part 2 right here next week on Morning Glory, so be sure to catch that as well. In the meanwhile, I'm really looking forward to your feedback to this very engaging conversation,
So please, if you have any feedback for Dr. Punch's interview, send it to us by email at listener@radiosci.org. With that, I'm going to play a small piece of music for you. It's part of the drama that will be presented in the Divine Presence this evening here in Prashanthi Nilayam. I'll tell you more about it after you've heard the music. Have a listen, please.
कभी ना हुआ तन्हा, जब भी था चाहा तुझे पाया वहाँ, आज जो मैं दूर हूँ तो चाहूँ देखना
Dear listeners, this piece of music that you just heard is a teeny tiny bit of a larger spectacular event that is being planned for tonight in the Mandir. The drama is going to be a mix of amazing music, dialogue, theme, acting that the grade 12 students of the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School here in Prashanthi Nilayam will offer to their Divine Founding Chancellor. Is based on the theme that the mother and the motherland are greater than heaven itself, and that's the theme that Swami has revived in Kali Yuga through so many divine discourses. The song, as you might have guessed if you know Hindi, captures the mind of the protagonist in this in times of despair when he's calling out to his mother and he's concerned for her. To watch this entire presentation live with us in real time and enjoy the bliss of the pure love offering by Sai students, you know, it has this finesse that is the signature of all Sai standards that Swami has set for us. You can enjoy it too by just logging on to radiosci.org at 5 p.m. Indian Standard Time. And if in case you're traveling, like Dr. Punch is flying right now, or you're away from internet and you're at work or it's middle of the night, wherever you are, you can just go back and enjoy the deferred download in your own time. All Radio Sai offerings, like Swami's love, only trade in the currency of pure love, selfless love. There is no monetary angle to anything, and you're free to enjoy everything emanating from this spiritual capital of the universe known as Prashanthi Nilayam at your convenience, at your leisure, and stay inspired and feel His love in your heart, wherever you are, whichever time zone you live in. And now I'm going to leave you to enjoy my short interviews with four members of the Bal Vikas alumni who were here last week. The interviews speak for themselves. My first two guests are ladies from Manipur and they speak in English. And my second two guests are two brothers from Madhya Pradesh and they're very well spoken in Hindi. I urge you to stay with us till the end of this program, which will be followed by my colleague Prem's answering booth. Thank you for your company and till we meet next Thursday. Please be well and Jai Sai Ram. Sai Ram, dear listeners, there is never a dull day in the abode of supreme peace. This year, on 7th of January 2017, it almost appears like the Chinese New Year came early because the entire ashram is filled with the red color. And the red color signifies coming together of thousands and thousands of Baba's Bal Vikas students because the ashram is currently hosting the 7th Bal Vikas alumni meet as well as the fourth convocation of the Bal Vikas Level 3 students. In this connection, we are very happy to have in the studio some of the Bal Vikas alumni with us. And the first two guests that I would like to introduce you to are both from far away Manipur. Both of them come from Imphal in Northeast India. And they are, my first guest is Kannan Bala Guru Mayum. Kannan Bala Guru Mayum obviously has been part of the Sai organization for a very long time and comes from a family that has been dedicated to Swami's mission. Her father, Dr. G. Ranjit Sharma, has in the past served, and also her mother, Dr. A. Nungshi Tombi Devi, has also been very active in the Sai organization. Currently, Kannan Bala is active as the state's IT coordinator, and she also attended the All India Mahila Convention that was held here in September of 2016. And she was here for the IT meeting in November 2016. And professionally, she's a highly qualified person. She holds a master's degree in computer applications. She has an MA and an MPhil in sociology. And she's also a fellow of the Indian Institute of Insurance. She currently works with the Life Insurance Corporation of India. Sairam Kannan Bala, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam Aunty.
So nice to see you finally in the studio. And my other guest is another young lady, Ilangbam Rabina. Ilangbam Rabina also comes from Imphal, Manipur, and also comes from a family that is dedicated to Swami's mission. Her father is Mr. E. Bijay Kumar Singh, and her mother, Umavati Devi. Both have served the state organization at various levels. And Ilangbam has completed her master's degree in English, and currently she is preparing for the civil services exam. She has attended many SAI activities, including the district level Gurus training program for Group 1 and new Gurus that was held in 2016 September, as well as the All India Mahila Convention held at the same time. She also took part in the Goshta Leela in 2003, and one of the high moments of her life is that she had an opportunity to offer Aarti to Swami. Sairam Ilangbam, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam.
So, Kannan Bala and Ilangbam, my first question to both of you is, what brings you ladies here to Prashanthi Nilayam? And we'll begin with Kannan Bala.
Sairam Aunty, I have been associated with Swami since childhood. My mother, she has been a devotee of Swami since she was a graduate student when she was studying her bachelor's degree. So, She had the darshan of Swami at Whitefield in 1980s with my father. After that, I was born in 1981. So I have been associated with Swami before my birth. So I have been with Swami since my childhood. So I have always, in a sense, talked to Swami with all my heart, as a friend, as my guardian, and I have always felt the presence of Swami in my life. So I came to Prashanthi when I was about to give my 10th exam in 1996. 97, it was my board exam. I came in 1996 December with my parents. It was the first time I saw Swami at the mandir. I cried like anything when I saw Swami. Tears fell down from my eyes, and it was my first experience, my direct connection to the God whom I have been praying since my childhood.
I know it's a very, very special moment,
yes,
for all of us to have,
yes,
that memory.
Yes. So, and I also served in the seva also. I had the Pada Namaskar of Swami. And I always felt that at the time that I wanted to be a student of Swami. So when Swami came to the darshan line, after our seva, Swami used to give Pada Namaskar. So we were in the line, and I took Pada Namaskar of Swami. Then I looked at Swami and said, Swami, aap mujhe kab apna student bana rahe ho? So I was looking at Swami, and I
good
was like,
question, yes, to ask, Swami, when are you planning?
I was like totally blind, and I didn't felt anything at that right moment. I just saw Swami, and I felt I was talking to Swami directly, and no one was there. So I said to Swami, "Aap mujhe kab apna student bana rahe ho?"
Meaning, when are you going to make me your student?
Yes. Because Swami always says that my students are my property. So I always felt like I should be a property of Swami. So then Swami smiled at me, and he said he gave his blessing, and he said, "Main bahut khush hua."
I'm very happy.
Yes, but he never made me his student in a way. I never got the opportunity to be a student of his college. But in a sense, in other sense, Swami met his student in other way, being a Balbikas student, and then after that, being a Balbikas guru, and Swami being a guru in a real sense, guiding me in my life. So coming to Prashanti again and again, I came to Prashanti so many times with my parents. So every time I came to Prashanti, I felt I'm coming back to home where my guru, my friend, my guardian is there. So it has been a very, a lovely and heartwarming experience for me, Auntie. We have come for the Balbikas alumni, so being a Balbikas student as such, and we have come for that to be a part of the alumni convocation. So to again get the blessing of Swami, though Swami has left his physical form, but still he is in his omnipresent form. So we have come for that. I should say I have come to again feel that presence again, the energy again with me.
Wonderful. And what about you, Ilanbam Rabina?
Om Sri Saiyam. Ever since I was so small, I've always heard about Swami. And I always dreamed that one day I'll go there and I'll just perform something or just do something. But I never had the chance. But in 2003, I got the chance to show a dance about Krishna and all. Its name was Ghosta Lila, and I had the chance to play the role of Mother Yashoda, and luckily I got the chance to offer arati to Swami. And when Swami gave me the chance to offer the arati, I was totally blank and I was speechless at that moment. I was so happy and I didn't know what to do. And right now I'm here to announce for our group dance and to give some synopsis about the dance.
Okay, so you're going to be one of the MCs at the alumni meet.
Mm.
Wonderful. How is it going so far?
It's very nice and people here are very helpful and all. So it's a wonderful experience for me.
It's a large number of people here, right?
Yeah. It's around about 3,000 people here, and so far the experience is so good.
I can see that everybody's wearing a big smile and walking around, and the ashram has such a nice energy of love and joy, Swami's alumni. And we can see whole of India here. It's so amazing.
Yes,
how is it going for you so far, Kannan Balan?
Auntie, as for today, as they have given the different four states have given various performances at the Lotus Feet of Bhagwan, and even our state, Manipur, has also given the performance at the Lotus Feet of Bhagwan. Seeing the vibration, different colors of India coming to Prashanti and being together as one at the Lotus Feet of Swami makes us feel like we are all together, being one as Swami always wanted us to be together.
Hmm, nice feeling, isn't
yes,
it?
Auntie.
You feel like part of such a big, beautiful, loving family.
Yes, as a part of a family, Auntie.
Yeah, I can see that. I can sense it in everything that is going on. Now, after this 2 days or 3 days that you are here, when you go back, what is it that you're going to be carrying back? Because you're one of the new gurus, Balvika's guru, so you have an important role to play. What is your takeaway from here, from this convention and the alumni meet?
The blessings that Swami has said, that as the name says, Balbikas, to imbibe the values in the children who are growing up together, and the most important thing is the faith and the belief that God is always with us, protecting us. The value, the human value that Swami always wanted his devotees, his children to take, carry in their life, that feeling, that that value I can impart to the students as such, that God will always be there, fencing their life, protecting them.
Very nice. What about you, Ilanbam?
As soon as I go back, I'll do my best to spread the message about love and all that Swami has given. And I'll do my best to impart what Swami has since so far he taught us. And I'll do my best to impart the education that Swami has given to my children.
Now, you're going to impart this education in human values to others, but do you actually think that it is something we can practice in real everyday life when we are facing challenges outside?
I think so, because every day it's like new opportunities and new difficulties and all. We are facing so many things, so I think Swami will help us. And
I think, Auntie, in the present scenario, talking about human values is easier than practicing. So it will be a little harder, but we can try our level best to put forth in our life what Swami has taught us. With the blessings of Swami, I hope we can carry forward what Swami has always wanted us to imbibe in us.
You know, Kannan Balan, you work for a financial institution, yes, LIC, Life Insurance Corporation of India. Now, in that sector, is it practical if you really want to, let's say, rise within the ranks and, you know, progress and get promoted? If you stick to truth and right conduct and non-violence and peace and love, you know, zero corruption, total integrity, do you think you have a future in that organization?
Auntie, I think as for my organization, as LIC in there, as far as I have seen, as far as I've worked, I have not felt like corruption is there. So in the way to promotion and all, there is no corruption. So I'm happy in a sense that Swami has put in an organization where I can practice the values Swami always wanted me to do so. So like there is hardly any corruption in LIC such as far as I have seen. And in promotion also, whoever is compatible, whoever is eligible, they get promoted. And I don't see that much of bad feelings or negativity as much as in the office as such. So we work as a family in our corporation. So I feel I am blessed to be in a corporation where we are like brothers and sisters. So in a way, I'm happy that Swami has put me in that sense. Mm-hmm. So there is no corruption at all. So mm-hmm. I'm happy in that sense.
That's good to hear. And Ilang Bam, you're preparing yourself for the civil services exam. And we pray to Swami that you succeed and do very well. Now, in that area, there is always that conflict. Sometimes we hear of bureaucrats who want to stick to the law, and then they are facing lots of political pressures which urge them to deviate from the path of right conduct. As a Balvikas alumni, do you see yourself being strong enough to face that and withstand it?
Actually, I leave everything to Swami, and I'll do my best to serve my country, and I'll just leave it to Swami, and and one day I think I'll do my best and serve my people.
Ilang Bam and Kannan Balan, thank you very much for your time on Radio Sai.
Thank you, Auntie, for bringing us here in Radio Sai.
Swami's wish, that's all. You're most welcome.
Yes. Sai Ram. Sai Ram,
Sai Ram, dear listeners, we also have two members of the Satya Sai alumni who are senior members who have been through the entire program and are now currently serving the organization. It's payback time for them, and I'm so pleased to introduce them to you. Mere pehle guest, Shri Sanjay Sinha ji hain, aur unke saath upasthit Shri Satyesh Chaurasia ji bhi hain. Sanjay ji aur Satyesh ji Madhya Pradesh se hain. Main unko आग्रह करती हूँ कि वो अपना परिचय हमें खुद दे दें. आपसे स्टार्ट करते हैं संजय भाई.
सायराम दीदी.
सायराम.
संजय सिन्हा, मैं वरिष्ठ अध्यापक हूँ हायर सेकेंडरी स्कूल में छिंदवाड़ा मध्य प्रदेश में.
जी.
मैंने एमए किया हूँ पॉलिटिकल साइंस और इकोनॉमिक्स में. बीएड भी हूँ मैं और LLB पास हूँ. मेरा सागर यूनिवर्सिटी की मेरिट सूची में 4th पोजीशन है और वर्तमान में मैं समिति कन्वीनर के पद पर कार्यरत हूँ.
आपका बहुत बहुत स्वागत हो रेडियो साय में. आपसे मिलकर बहुत अच्छा लगा.
सायराम.
सायराम. सतीश चौरसिया जी.
जी सायराम दीदी.
सायराम.
मैं सतीश चौरसिया
जी.
मैं जबलपुर से हूँ और कृषि नगर समिति से मेरे को बाल विकास का शिक्षा मिला, क्योंकि वो शिक्षा मैं सबसे पहले बताना चाहूंगा.
जी.
और उसके पश्चात मेरी जो प्रोफेशनल शिक्षा है, जिसमें मैंने अपनी तकनीकी में सिविल इंजीनियरिंग से परीक्षा की डिप्लोमा लिया एंड देन उसके बाद उस्मानिया यूनिवर्सिटी से बीए की उपाधि प्राप्त की। तत्पश्चात मैंने एमबीए किया और वर्तमान में मैं सहारा प्राइम सिटी लिमिटेड में एक हेड प्रोजेक्ट हूं। एक बहुत बड़ा प्रोजेक्ट हम लोग 106 एकड़ में बना रहे हैं
नागपुर में
उसका मैं प्रोजेक्ट हेड हूं। मेरे पिता डॉक्टर आर आर चौरसिया जिन्होंने मुझे यह अवसर दिया कि मैं बाल विकास पढ़ू, और मेरी मां श्रीमती हीरा चौरसिया जो कि एक अध्यापिका रही, और आज ये मुझे मौका मिला कि मैं आज एल्यूमिनियम के रूप में अपनी साई समिति की तरफ से रिकमेंडेड होकर आज आपके सामने हूं। इससे बड़ा सौभाग्य कुछ नहीं हो सकता।
आपको स्वामी ने याद किया तभी आप यहां पहुंचे हैं दोनों। साईराम, बहुत ही अच्छा लगा आपसे मिलकर। आप मुझे बताइए, आप दोनों बहुत ही सीनियर पोजीशंस पे हैं, आप प्रोजेक्ट हेड हैं और संजय जी आप एक वरिष्ठ अध्यापक हैं, बाल विकास का आपके जीवन पे क्या असर रहा और किस हद तक आप अपने काम में बाल विकास के वैल्यूज को इंक्लूड करते हैं?
जीवन में सबसे पहले हम लोगों को जो प्राथमिक शिक्षा अपने परिवार से मिलती है
जी,
जब आपको इतने सुंदर माँ बाप मिल जाते हैं और उसका इतना अच्छा संगठन मिल जाता है, जैसे सत्य साई सेवा संगठन से मेरे पिता 1974 से जुड़े, जब मेरा जन्म हुआ उसके पश्चात मेरे को ये एक एनवायरमेंट मिला, और जैसे स्वामी कहते हैं शिक्षा के बगैर हम बहुत कुछ पा सकते हैं, शिक्षा है लेकिन मानवीय मूल्यों के साथ शिक्षा, उसका एक प्रबंधन और उसका जीवन में अपनापन और उसको अपनाना, ये दोनों कार्यों को एक साथ करना, और इस शिक्षा के लिए मैं अपनी समस्त गुरुओं को धन्यवाद देना चाहूंगा। मैं यहां से धन्यवाद देना चाहता हूं मेरी तीन गुरु जिनको मैं मां कह सकता हूं, बाल विकास गुरु श्रीमती इंगले, श्रीमती रमा श्रीवास्तव और मेरे पिता श्री रेवती रमन जी चौरसिया, जिन लोगों ने हम लोगों को जीवन कैसे जिया जाता है इसकी शिक्षा पहले दे दी। और चूंकि संगठन से जुड़े तो काफी कुछ संगठन में हम लोग सबसे पहले 5 Ds की भी शिक्षा दी गई थी हमको, ड्यूटी, डिवोशन, डेडिकेशन, डिसिप्लिन, डिस्क्रिमिनेशन। उस शिक्षा के माध्यम से हमको एक मजबूती मिली और एक अवसर दिया बाल विकास, चूंकि बहुत बाल विकास में हम लोग अपने अपने प्रोग्राम्स देते हैं, तो उसने हमको एक ऐसा प्लेटफॉर्म दे दिया कि हम जीवन के पथ पर जहां पे भी रहे और अपने आप में एक मेरे को थोड़ा सा अच्छा लगा इस बात से, इस प्रश्न से, तो हमने इस बाल विकास से बहुत कुछ पाया है, इतना पाया है कि
मैं आपसे पूछूंगी, अभी तो वापस आती हूं, मैं आपसे पूछती हूं क्योंकि आप जिस इंडस्ट्री में हैं, ये जो सिटीज बनने की, रियल एस्टेट, इसमें तो बहुत ज्यादा जरूरत है इस देश में ईमानदारी और सत्य धर्म की, सो आई विल कम बैक टू यू ऑन दैट। संजय भाई, आप हमें बताइए किस हद तक आप, तो बाबा ने कहा है कि सोसाइटी में सबसे ज्यादा महत्वपूर्ण काम दो प्रोफेशंस हैं जो कि बहुत ज्यादा इम्पैक्ट कर सकते हैं, एक अध्यापक और दूसरे डॉक्टर, और आप एक वरिष्ठ अध्यापक हैं, तो किस हद तक आपके बाल विकास बैकग्राउंड का असर आपकी टीचिंग प्रैक्टिसेस पे है?
साईराम, बाल विकास ने मेरे जीवन में बहुत ज्यादा प्रभाव डाला है और मैंने एक भगवान बाबा के कोटेशन को बहुत अपनाया, हेल्प एवर हर्ट नेवर का, और हमेशा बच्चों को भी ये बोलता कि हम अपने जीवन को किस प्रकार से सार्थक बना सकते हैं। हमेशा मैंने ह्यूमन वैल्यूज को अपनाया हूं, सत्य धर्म शांति प्रेम अहिंसा को किस प्रकार से अपने जीवन में उतारना चाहिए ये मैं बच्चों को बढ़ाता हूं, और मैं जहां पर कार्यरत हूं वहां पर बच्चों को हमेशा यही बोलता हूं कि समय का ध्यान रखो, समय ज्यादा इम्पोर्टेंट है। हम अदर एक्टिविटीज तो करते रहते हैं परंतु जो समय है, यदि आप समय को पकड़ लेंगे तो निश्चित रूप से वो आपके भावी जीवन के लिए बहुत उपयोगी सिद्ध होगा। समय पर चलो, धीरे बोलो, कम बोलो, मधुर वाणी से बोलो, अपने माता पिता का पालन करो। क्यों? क्योंकि मैंने बाल विकास में सीखा हूं, मेरे बाल विकास गुरु ने, मेरे पेरेंट्स ने ये सब मुझको बताए हैं, बचपन से ही बाल विकास गया, तो आज मैं अपने स्टूडेंट्स को भी यही शिक्षा देता हूं कि समाज में रहकर एक अच्छे जीवन में चलो, एक अच्छी भूमिका का निर्वहन कर सको, और इसी से ही सभी विद्यार्थियों का, सभी स्टूडेंट का सर्वांगीण विकास होता है। क्योंकि हमारे यहां हमको जैसा भगवान ने बताया कि एजुकेशन और एजुकेयर, एजुकेशन बाहरी शिक्षा किताबी ज्ञान है, और एजुकेयर मतलब हम अपने अंदर दिव्यता को किस प्रकार से प्रदर्शित कर सके जिससे कि बच्चा उसको ग्रहण सके। तो मैं तो चूंकि बचपन से ही बाल विकास जा रहा हूं, बचपन से ही उनको मानते आ रहा हूं भगवान को अवतार को, तो मैं अपने स्टूडेंट्स को भी यही सलाह देता हूं कि सिर्फ सिर्फ अपने समय का उपयोग करना सीखो और अपने माता पिता को मानवीयता को नैतिकता को बनाए रखो, जिससे कि आने वाले समय में आप बहुत अच्छी भूमिका का निर्माण समाज में कर सकेंगे।
और जो छिंदवाड़ा के लोग हैं मध्य प्रदेश में, वो आपकी इस सीख के बारे में कैसा रिस्पॉन्स देते हैं?
बहुत अच्छा रिस्पॉन्स देते हैं मेरे जितने भी प्रिंसिपल सर हैं या मेरे जो एजुकेशन के ऑफिसर्स हैं।
पेरेंट्स को तो बहुत अच्छा लगता है,
पेरेंट्स को बहुत अच्छा लगता है,
विद्यार्थियों को कैसे लगता है?
विद्यार्थियों को भी इतना अच्छा लगता है, वो बोलते हैं सर आप जो कहानी बताते हैं, आप जो एजुकेशन की बात बताते हैं, आप जो मानवीयता की बात बताते हैं, इससे बड़े प्रभावित, मतलब साइलेंट होकर बिल्कुल सुनते रहते हैं वो। और बहुत स्ट्रिक्ट मैं बोलते हूँ कि मेरे क्लास में किसी प्रकार का आप आपस में बातचीत नहीं करिए, सिर्फ मेरे से क्वेश्चन करिए। और मैं निश्चित रूप से उन मौन धारण के रूप में या कहानी के रूप में कितने सब्जेक्ट को कितने अच्छे रोचकता के साथ मैं बता सकूं, ये मैं प्रयत्न करता हूँ।
आप कौन से सब्जेक्ट पढ़ाते
हैं? मैं पॉलिटिकल साइंस पढ़ाता हूँ।
अच्छा, वेरी नाइस, वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग, बहुत अच्छा लगा कि मेरे लिए ये सोचना भी बड़ा मुश्किल है, स्वामी ने कैसे ध्यान से और इतनी शांति के साथ ये बीज बोए हैं बाल विकास के, और पिछले 40 साल में अब इसकी फसल आने लगी है कि सेकेंड जनरेशन आ गई है और हम लोग हर प्रोफेशन में हमारे बाल विकास की एलुमनाई अब लॉयर्स हैं, डॉक्टर्स हैं, टीचर्स हैं, हर जगह सोसाइटी में स्वामी ने अपने स्टूडेंट्स को तैयार करके रखा है।
मेरे फादर ने भी बाल विकास क्लास ली पढ़ाते हैं, मदर भी बाल विकास गुरु हैं, फादर भी हैं, मेरे दोनों सिस्टर अभी सब एलुमनाई में आए हुए, दोनों सिस्टर भी बाल विकास गुरु हैं, जोनल कोऑर्डिनेटर हैं, बच्ची को भी मैं बाल विकास भेज रहा हूं, अभी वो सेकंड ग्रुप का मैं तैयारी कर रही है, वाइफ भी आई है, सभी लोग मेरे पूरा परिवार यहां पर आया हुआ है, उससे भगवान की शिक्षाओं पर चलने की कोशिश कर रहे हैं।
कितनी अच्छी बात है सच में। सतीश भाई, आप मुझे बताइए, आप तो प्रोजेक्ट मैनेजर हैं इतने बड़े रियल एस्टेट कंपनी के, और यहाँ पे हम आए दिन न्यूज में सुनते हैं सुप्रीम कोर्ट बार बार बता रहे हैं बिल्डर्स को कि कैसे कंज्यूमर्स के जो ग्राहक हैं उनके हक का ध्यान रखा जाए, और इस एक सेक्टर में इतना चीटिंग होती है और इतना धोखा होता है ग्राहक के साथ, तो आपका काम कैसे डिफरेंट है, क्योंकि अलग कैसे है, क्योंकि आप बाल विकास के बड़े पले हैं और आपको सत्य धर्म शांति प्रेम अहिंसा का मार्ग मालूम है, आप अपने काम में क्या अलग करते हैं बाकियों से?
सबसे बड़ा है कि आप जो भी कार्य करते हैं सबसे पहले वर्क इज योर वर्शिप
जी,
और लव ऑल सर्व ऑल, ये अपने आप में इतनी बड़ी बात है कि जो भी आपको जिम्मेदारी किसी भी ऑर्गेनाइजेशन में, चाहे संगठन में, अपने संगठन में हो या आप किसी संस्था के लिए काम करते हो, तो सबसे बड़ा इम्पोर्टेंट है आपको हाउ टू एक्ट वॉच, जो स्वामी ने कहा WATCH, वॉच योर एक्शन, वॉच योर कैरेक्टर, वॉच योर एवरीथिंग, तो वो एक आपको साहस देता है। और खासकर आप, हम लोग जिस तरह के काम में हैं वहां पे दुविधाएं और समस्याएं हैं, लेकिन उन सब चीजों का निराकरण है अगर आपकी नीयत साफ है तो, और नीयत के लिए कैरेक्टर की आवश्यकता होती है। हर ऑर्गेनाइजेशन अपने तरीके से चीजों को बेहतर तरीके से कॉरपोरेट रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटीज निभाता है, और हम लोग भी उसी तरीके से काफी कुछ ऐसे कार्य किए हैं, जैसे कि भूकंप रोधी मकानों का निर्माण की बात हो, भूकंप विरोधी चीजों को दिलाने की बात हो, तो उसमें जो सेवा का जो पक्ष है उसको हम लोग ध्यान रखते हुए काम करते हैं। लेकिन ये बात जरूर है कि जो संगठन के साथ साथ अपने प्रोफेशनल कामों का जो गठबंधन कैसे करना है, ये एक कार्यक्रम आपके प्योर हाउ टू एक्ट, हाउ टू बिहेव, हाउ टू केम आउट द थिंग्स फ्रॉम द सोर्सेस, ये चीज करने के लिए एक बहुत बड़ी, जिसको कहते हैं लियाजन की आवश्यकता होती है, बहुत अच्छे प्रोफेशनल अप्रोच की आवश्यकता होती है, वो बाल विकास का बैकअप हमको देता है।
मगर अगर आप सब हमेशा अपना वर्ड्स और एक्शन, थॉट, कैरेक्टर, हार्ट को ध्यान में रखते हुए काम करेंगे, इस एरिया में आपको पैसे का नुकसान नहीं होगा, बिकॉज यहां तो इतनी सारी कमीशंस और
जी,
प्रकार की
अनैतिक चीजें होती हैं।
हाँ, अनैतिकल चीजें होती रहती, प्रैक्टिसेस बहुत कॉमन है।
उसके लिए सबसे इम्पोर्टेंट होता है कि हाउ डू यू कंट्रोल ऑन योर जॉब, आपका खुद का काम के प्रति आपका स्वयं का ज्ञान कितना है। यदि आपका सब्जेक्टिव नॉलेज, जिस कार्य को आप कर रहे हैं उसमें अगर आप पीछे हैं, तो इन सब चीजों की आवश्यकता या ऐसी चीजें बढ़ जाती हैं। हाउ डू यू कंट्रोल, हाउ डू यू मैनेज, हाउ डू यू हैंडल द सीन, एंड इफ चीजें हैं लेकिन कुछ एक जगह गलत हैं, हो सकती हैं, लेकिन सबसे पहले होता है हाउ डू यू प्ले योर एटमॉस्फेयर। और सबसे बड़ा ये काम होता है नेतृत्व का, जो नेतृत्व कर रहा होता है उसको इस चीज का हैंडलिंग करना। तो जहां तक हमारे अंदर या हमारे को जिम्मेदारियां के अंतर्गत जो भी नेतृत्व करने के अवसर मिले, वी ट्राई टू सेट अप सच एटमॉस्फेयर टू अवॉइड सच थिंग्स। और वंस अगर आप एक एस्टेब्लिश कर लेते हो, एक मनोभावना जब आपके वर्क प्लेस पे आ जाती है, तो ये ऑटोमेटिक ये अनैतिक चीजें भाग जाती हैं।
आई सी। और आपके जो आसपास बाकी लोग काम करते हैं उनको आपत्ति तो नहीं आपकी ईमानदारी से?
ईमानदारी से देखिए आपत्ति किसी को नहीं। सबसे बड़ी बात यह है कि ईमानदार से सबसे ज्यादा लोग डरते हैं। बेईमान की दोस्ती बहुत जल्दी हो जाती है, लेकिन ईमानदार बनना और ईमानदार होना और ईमानदार बताना, ये तीनों में बड़ा अंतर है। तो इस चीज का समझ तब होती है जब हम उस कार्य के अंदर संलग्न होकर इन्वॉल्व होकर डूब के करते हैं। किसी चीज को दूर से सलाम करना और पास रहकर उसको वो करना, ये अपने आप में एक बहुत बड़ा मिशन है।
नाइसली सेड, बिल्कुल आपकी राय से मैं सहमत हूं। संजय भाई, पीछे ही स्वामी हमेशा कहते हैं कि जैसा पानी सोर्स में होता है, जैसा टैंक में पानी होगा वैसे ही नल में भी आएगा। तो जैसे अध्यापक होंगे, जैसे उनके वैल्यूज होंगे, वैसे ही शिक्षा वो अपने विद्यार्थियों को भी दे सकते हैं। तो किस हद तक आपको लगता है कि जो मेन स्ट्रीम स्कूल्स हैं, मैं बाल विकास की बात नहीं कर रही, जैसे आप हायर सेकेंडरी स्कूल में काम करते हैं, वहां पे क्या लोग तैयार हैं ये सब सुनने के लिए? आप तो अपनी क्लास में तो वैल्यूज आप पढ़ाते हैं और आप बच्चों को इस तरफ जागृत करते हैं कि उनको इन वैल्यूज का ध्यान रखना चाहिए, मगर बाकी के जो शिक्षक हैं और बाकी का स्कूल एनवायरमेंट है, आपको लगता है हिंदुस्तान के स्कूल अब इस सब के लिए रेडी हैं जो बाबा ने सिखाया कि यूनिवर्सल ह्यूमन वैल्यूज?
देखिए, जो भी काम अच्छा होगा उसको सब अपनाने की कोशिश करते हैं।
अच्छा।
मैं जिस फील्ड में हूं, मेरा जो सर्कल है उसमें चाहे वो कोई से भी धर्म का है, मैं साईराम ही करता हूं। और लगभग हर कोई साईराम साईराम, जैसे ही स्कूल गए या कॉलेज गए तो साईराम साईराम सर साईराम सर ऐसे करने लगते हैं। तो निश्चित रूप से आध्यात्मिक विकास बढ़ते जा रहा है और लोगों की रुचि आ रही है। लोग वाग सब अपने कार्यों को एक तरफ रखकर एक अच्छे कार्यों में अगर लगे रहें तो निश्चित रूप से इसका फल जो है वो अच्छा रहता है, पॉजिटिव हमको रिजल्ट उसका मिलता है। मेरे जितने भी गुरुज हैं, मेरे जितने भी दोस्त हैं या स्टूडेंट हैं, वो सब बोलते हैं कि सर जो आप काम कर रहे हैं निश्चित रूप से हम इसमें भागीदार करेंगे। हमने एनसीसी में, हमने एनएसएस में ये सब सेवा कार्य किया है, ग्राम में जाकर, ग्रामीण क्षेत्र में जाकर या दूसरे स्कूलों को शामिल करके निस्वार्थ भाव से किस प्रकार से सेवा करना चाहिए, ये भी गुण हमने बतलाए हैं उनको। तो आने वाले समय में भगवान के वैल्यूज को और भगवान की शिक्षाओं पर सभी लोग चलना पसंद करेंगे और चल भी रहे हैं, लेकिन थोड़ा थोड़ा समय लग रहा है उसमें। निश्चित रूप से ये रिजल्ट जो है वो पॉजिटिव है इसके लिए।
टाइम क्यों लग रहा है, चैलेंजेस क्या हैं?
चैलेंजेस ये है कि सोसाइटी में इतना ज्यादा मतलब लोगों को मालूम नहीं है, तो उनको अपन ह्यूमन वैल्यूज में, एजुकेशन में, एजुकेयर के माध्यम से, ये सब शिक्षाओं के माध्यम से बता रहे हैं। लोगों को अभी पता नहीं था कि ये बाल विकास क्या है, सेवा कार्य किस प्रकार से कर रहे हैं, समिति किस प्रकार से वर्क कर रही है। तो जब हम समाज में जा रहे हैं, हम गर्मी की छुट्टियों में प्याऊ लगा रहे हैं, हम समर कोर्स बतला रहे हैं, नॉन बाल विकास बच्चों को भी हम शिक्षाएं दे रहे हैं, पेरेंट्स मीट कर रहे हैं, तो ये सब फायदा हो रहा है।
और आपका प्रशांति निलय में आके ये अलुमनाई मीट अटेंड करके कैसा अनुभव रहा अभी तक?
बहुत सुंदर, इतना सुंदर कि हम लोग ने आज सुबह से बच्चों को देखा और वो जो बच्चे जब हम बच्चे थे और हम लोग को जो अवसर था और आज के बच्चों को जो अवसर मिला, प्रशांति निलयम पहली बात आना, दूसरी बात प्रशांति निलयम के पूर्ण चंद्र हॉल में जहां स्वामी ने इतनी लीलाएं की हैं, वह उस स्टेज पे बच्चों के द्वारा परफॉर्मेंस करना, आई कांट मतलब एक्सप्रेस, मेरे पास शब्द नहीं है उनका उस भावना को प्रदर्शित करने के लिए। और आज हमको बहुत अच्छे अच्छे संदेश भी मिले हमारे प्रेसिडेंट से, हमारे सीनियर ट्रस्टी सर से, उन्होंने बताया कि बाल विकास ने आज कितना रूप कर लिया है। आज 3000 बच्चे आ चुके हैं, यानी जिनके रिजर्वेशन मिले वो पहुंचे हैं, कितने लोगों की इच्छाएं थी चीज जो नहीं आ पाए अगर उनको काउंट करो, और जिनके पास क्षमताएं नहीं थी वो नहीं आ पाए उनको अगर काउंट करिए जो बच्चे पढ़ रहे हैं। तो ये जो आज का जो फंक्शन हुआ ये वाकई मेमोरेबल है। आज हमें एल्यूमिनियस को बुलाया गया, एक प्रकार का बहुत अच्छा लगा कि यानी पुराने लोग अपने अपने कार्यों में संलग्न तो हैं लेकिन कैसे एक प्लेटफॉर्म पे इकट्ठे होकर एक दूसरे से शेयर कर रहे हैं, तो हम लोग वापस रिचार्ज हो गए। आज हमारी बैटरी फिर से चार्ज होगी और ये इतने एमएच की बैटरी है कि काफी लंबी चलेगी इसको।
तो बहुत अच्छी बात है, वैसे आते रहिया कीजिए, आपका घर है
जी,
चार्ज
जी,
के लिए जितनी बार हो सके। संजय भाई आपका अनुभव कैसा रहा?
मेरा तो अनुभव ये है कि बचपन से ही चूंकि मैं प्रशांति दिल्ली में आ रहा हूं, चाहे वो पीएस के माध्यम से हूं, हाँ। चाहे प्रशांति सेवा के माध्यम से हूं, बाल विकास की जो पहले बाल विकास गुरुओं की थी तो उसमें स्टूडेंट के रूप में भी आया, तो भगवान ने सभी सिस्टर को मदर को साड़ी दिए तो बड़े हंसी मजाक में कहे थे कि तुम लोग को भी दूंगे, तो उस समय हम लोग को धोती भगवान के हाथों से मिली थी, भगवान का फोटो मिला था, विभूति मिली थी। तो निश्चित रूप से ये तो एक बहुत अच्छी बात है, और चूंकि बाल विकास में आध्यात्मिक विकास होता है, नैतिक विकास होता है, और जैसा कि भगवान ने कहा है कि धन आता है और चला जाता है परंतु नैतिकता आती है और वो बढ़ती जाती है। मुंह में राम हाथों में काम, कि किस प्रकार से हमको नाम स्मरण तो चलता रहता है परंतु हमको अपने हाथों से सेवा कार्य भी करनी है। जग में हम कुछ काम करेंगे नहीं, हम आराम करेंगे, काम करेंगे, काम करेंगे, काम करेंगे, काम करेंगे, काम करेंगे। इसी कोटेशन पे हम आगे बढ़ते हैं। ये ह्यूमन सॉन्ग है और मैं इस आपके माध्यम से ये कहना चाहूंगा सभी स्टूडेंट्स को और सभी सेवादल सदस्यों को कि रिश्तों के पथ पर अपना कर्तव्य निभाते रहिए, मिलते रहिए, यूं ही आते जाते रहिए। वो बस इस्तीजा इतनी सी है कि आप हमेशा साईं के कार्यों को आगे बढ़ाते रहिए।
बहुत सुंदर, बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद। आपके फाइनल थॉट्स?
फाइनल थॉट ये है कि अच्छा बनो, अच्छा करो, सबके लिए अच्छा सोचो, सामने को अपने हृदय से जैसा समझो उसको, और जितना यू कैन केयर सर्विसेज में आप अपने जीवन में इतने अवसर सेवा के पाते हो, जितना कर सकते हो, जितना हिम्मत हो उतना करो। जो स्वामी कहते हैं लव ऑल सर्व ऑल, भगवान हमें ऐसी शक्ति देना बजाता, मन का विश्वास कमजोर ना होना, हम चले नेक रास्ते पे ऐसे। साई राम, साई राम,
साई राम। सतीश चौरसिया जी और संजय सिन्हा जी बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद।